Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, April 18th. Hi, Tori.
Hello.
Today is known as Tax Day, folks. And I don't know why I keep reminding people. I guess I feel responsible so people won't miss the date.
Oh.
Like it really matters, right?
Well, it does, but to also me. You're not responsible.
Yeah, exactly.
At all.
Maybe I'm just reminding myself.
Did you do your taxes yet?
No, we filed an extension. Yeah, nice. Yeah. Because I usually like to finish it early, but you know, you got a business, you got to do like civil returns and stuff.
So I did mine yesterday, counting it done. Got some money back.
Oh, wow.
Very exciting.
There you go. You see?
Yeah.
And we should charge the government for interest, too, for all the money they're holding of ours, you know?
We should charge the government a lot of things. Hey-o! Buzzing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But, we're talking about that and government and stuff. I guess the Homeland Security chief warns against marijuana as a gateway drug.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I guess we should listen to him since he knows, right?
Yeah, this guy knows.
Homeland Security knows a lot about marijuana.
Yeah, he really does. I think what's interesting about marijuana to me is that just like gay rights happen very, very quickly in terms of things changing in the United States, usually things in the United States don't change quickly. They take time. But gay rights happened from like Bill Clinton saying don't ask, don't tell to like two presidents later, it is just wide open.
Right.
So marijuana also, I think, has gone through a pretty quick revolution of it's not like I used to think just say no, Nancy Reagan, that whole thing. And that just hasn't worked.
Right.
There's just an opiate epidemic. And there has been for like 25 years,
right.
You know. So I think marijuana is becoming much more accepted also in terms of like pain relief because of the opiate. You can't go to opioids because it gets addictive. Here's a natural, non-addictive choice.
Right.
Go ahead. You know what I mean?
Right. No. And it works for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know?
And more vets are using it for PTSD.
Right.
And it's just had a moment. It's had its own moment and its own revolution. And I think in the next 5 years, you'll see it just be by statewide.
Right.
Hopefully, you know.
Yeah. I know. I just know that for years I've smoked in hiding and stuff. I still, you know, I mean,
it's so stupid because a cigarette's actually so much worse for you.
Right. But, you know, people smell it and it's like it's considered illegal or it has been illegal.
It has a stigma. Yeah, no, because of that. But I think in the next generation it won't have that stigma.
Probably.
You have a vape pen and it's like a normal thing, you know.
Right. And everybody seems to be using marijuana these days, you know.
And it might be that we are in Los Angeles.
Yeah, right.
And it's, but, and similar to Denver, but man, you see a normalization of it very quickly.
Yeah.
This has become normalized.
I know. And that's what concerns me because this government is going to take us back 100 years, you know.
Remember, they want to make America great again.
Yeah, well, I guess they will without marijuana, right?
You know, like the founding fathers grew marijuana. There were crops.
Really?
Yeah, when they were growing tobacco.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting, the history of it, but it is becoming more normalized and, I remember when Clinton said I didn't inhale,
right.
Which was the dumbest thing you could ever say. And Obama was asking, he's like, "Of course I inhale. That's what you're supposed to do."
Right.
But that change from that president to that president's answer was big.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's
that he was fine saying that?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Like so, Obama was kind of a stoner.
Was he really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay,
he smoked a lot of pot.
All right.
In college he was in like a pot club, a Cheech and Chong thing. Interesting.
Wow. So I guess Melissa Etheridge also admits that she smokes weed with her adult kids.
I can definitely picture that.
Right. So she says she's been smoking since she was in her 20s.
Yeah.
And so have I.
So that's what you and Melissa Etheridge have in common.
We have in common. Nothing else in common.
Come to my window. I love that song. I love that song. I don't know which is it. Nowadays, you can't say those things because I think in a song you're thinking stalker.
Right.
Come to my window.
Yeah.
The other one, you know that song, Sam, that goes, "Get out of my dreams and into my car."
Yeah. Billy Ocean.
Yeah. Hey, slow down into my car. Yeah, right. Super uncomfortable. How about like on a first date? Like, not in my car.
Yeah. So, yeah, she says it brings us closer, her and the kids. I'd much rather have a smoke with my grown kids than a drink.
And you know what? That's what you see more and more people coming out saying. And you know what's happening? This is when it really changes. Moms, suburban moms. And instead of the glass of wine after the bad, now it's the moms having a joint.
Right.
This is now when you have suburban soccer moms smoking a joint and talking about it.
Right.
Now you've normalized.
That's true. You know?
Something, and, yeah. They are the last to be normal. No, I'm just saying that's the epitome of normalization. If you can get Midwest moms. And you know what? A glass of wine is fine, but people drinking so much can be, it's unhealthy.
Right. It really is, you know. And I don't know, you know, you look at a group of people that drink and they seem rowdy and everything, and people that smoke marijuana just mellow and funny.
All they want is to watch movies and eat. Like, they're happy, man.
I know. You don't fight with people.
You never have, like, a marijuana-fueled fight, a stabbing, you know. Right. You just wouldn't. Unless it's like a Cheeto and you're, like, sword fighting. It's interesting. And,
it really is.
Gaga talks about drugs a lot, and Gaga says she is really inspired by weed when she writes songs and whiskey. So she, like, does, like, a shot of whiskey, has a joint, and then she says she can really help with songs. And I think it's, like, it's cool that I kind of think it's nice that she also it can bring inspiration, too, to people. It can be a nice...
No, absolutely. I mean, look, that's our society. We can't run away from that, you know?
Yeah.
And people do use... marijuana and maybe even other drugs for inspiration when they create.
Right,
but so I don't know. I mean, to me, it's like...
I'm just too scared to try, like, big drugs.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah. Me too. I mean, I've tried cocaine. That's about the most I've tried. Or Quaaludes in the 80s, 70s, 80s.
But did you call
those were like elephant tranquilizers.
Yeah, you guys, like, so what, here's the thing. I have a question. First of all, do you call it lewds?
We call them lewds.
So it is lewds. And then also, if I'm like, hey, you want to do a lewd? And we do a lewd. And isn't it just you're going to bed?
Well,
or is it more like
it's
a
like
muscle
drinking,
relaxant?
It's like drinking 10 six packs. You're like, you're very numb. You're very numb.
Oh, I see. So it's not sleepy, more numb.
Yeah. I mean, you can get sleepy, too,
but it
makes you really high and numb, and you like touching, sex is good.
Kind of like ecstasy.
Yeah,
something
like that.
Which I've never tried. It's so dumb.
I know. I tried ecstasy. All I got from it, when we went to a rave, I was living in South Africa at the time. We went to a rave. That was in the 90s.
Dude.
And
awesome.
Right?
I think that's so funny.
Yeah. So they gave me ecstasy. All I remember is having to pee every 5 minutes.
That's not
I had
ecstasy.
To drink a lot. No, I had to drink a lot. I was drinking like Gatorade and stuff.
Yeah, you get thirsty.
You get really thirsty.
And
so
usually you want something to like suck
minutes.
On.
Right, yeah.
Like a candy. Yeah.
And they use like menthol and stuff for the tingliness of it. And
did you feel, did your nerve endings do anything? Did you feel anything?
I don't know if I remember that.
You're just
that.
Peeing a lot.
Yeah, peeing a lot.
That sucks.
But we stayed up till the sunrise and it was beautiful.
Yeah, you know? I imagine. It just sucks to pee at a rave. Having to pee at a rave was also because the bathrooms are probably not...
And you have to wait in line for those porta potties.
I mean, that's shitty, to be honest.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. If you do an ecstasy to rave, you should do a catheter.
Yeah, right.
Just so you can just hang out.
Yeah, right.
Lollipops.
Besides, it doesn't happen to a lot of people. It just happened to me.
No, but I do know my friends all said that you have to drink a lot and you grind your teeth a lot.
Right.
And I'm
like,
I don't want to do
like
any
speed,
of that.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm like, I'll just eat my Cheetos.
I know. No, these drugs mess with you way too much.
Yeah, I'm scared.
It's all chemicals and stuff.
Yeah,
know?
I'm a little. I'm much more into like more. I'm okay with more natural. Although vapes haven't been sort of discussed lately in terms of like health wise. We don't know the long extent.
Right.
But like marijuana to me seems more of like from the earth than like an ecstasy pill with a dolphin on it.
Yeah, you know. I mean, these are all chemicals, whereas this is natural.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So tell the head of home security to go fuck himself. I don't really care what he thinks, and if he makes it illegal, we'll continue buying it the way we did, I guess.
And I don't think you can come this far after normalizing it with such a good result in terms of the surplus of the budget, and then try and say it should be criminalized.
Right, right.
It's just, it's like a backwards way of going. And this administration, it's like, what are you doing?
Right.
You're going backwards.
But they already have laws in place that they can enforce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the problem. We can't stop
To be honest, Obama promised to be much more marijuana friendly. And actually, right. Eric Stone.
He was. I mean, look, in the past 8 years, we've come a long way.
Yeah, but he also was pretty. He did a lot of federal drug raids. Like Eric, you know, Eric Holder did a lot. Yeah.
Right.
And Eric Stone. Eric Holder did a lot of. So people call him the anti marijuana presidency because he went back on a lot of things he said he would do.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. This guy does a lot.
Yeah.
You know, we get a lot of very talented people here.
He's not eating Cheetos on the couch. No.
This guy's not. So, yeah. So,
How about the unicorn frappuccino?
No. Unicorn frappuccino.
Okay. So, it has Starbucks confirmed it is coming to participating stores April 19th to the 23rd. Okay, now it is bright pink with whipped cream and bright purple glitter, and it's called the Unicorn Frappuccino, and you can order it.
Uh-huh.
The beverage is made with mango syrup, a sour blue drizzle, and topped with vanilla whipped cream and sweet pink and sour blue powder.
Wow, so no coffee in that at all.
Wait, hold on. No, there has to be.
Like there's coffee.
With mango syrup. No, I'm sure it's coffee mixed with all that. That sounds disgusting. Okay. You guys, it sounds gross. But it looks really cool. It's a bright pink and blue.
It does look good, and it's a good promotion. You see, you do anything you can to bring attention to your product, man.
Yeah, unicorns are always good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
how can we get attention to our show? I mean, you know, I'm trying to think of like really revolutionary ways. And I'm thinking, look, there's a million radio shows out there, you know, so you really got to stand out. And I keep thinking of like something, I want to do something that would get a lot of attention. But
well, I have it.
Yeah.
What if we also made unicorn frappuccinos?
I know. If we had unicorns in the studio, right?
Yeah, something with unicorns, I think, would really help. I know what you mean, because then you don't want to go gimmicky.
Right.
But you also do kind of have to. Like, this is gimmicky, but that's such a good idea.
Right, exactly. You don't want to seem like you're buying your customers
But, like,
stuff,
this unicorn idea seems like everyone's... It's something that everyone is happy about.
Right.
Yeah. You got to think about that.
I know. But I can't see a guy buying a unicorn anything.
I work in WeHo in West Hollywood, and that is Boys Town, and it would be great. It's like a fashion sense. If you're walking with a cute outfit on, the guy has a cute unicorn frappuccino.
Right.
Ugh. That'd be darling. I want one, and I don't even like mangoes.
All right. Well, we're going to take our guest right now who's calling in. Craig, are you with us?
Yeah, that's me.
Good morning, Craig. Craig Ballantyne, right? Am I pronouncing it correct?
That's perfectly fine.
Awesome. Craig, thank you for calling us this morning. Where are you calling from?
I'm near Toronto, Canada, actually.
Oh, wow.
I love
Canada. It's beautiful up there. Is it warm, cold still? How's it going there?
You know, it's actually a beautiful, beautiful day here. It's a little cool. It's about 60 degrees, but it's sunny out. And if you get a sunny day in April, you just count your lucky stars.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Have you been a Canadian all your life?
Yeah, I was actually born in the same town as Justin Bieber, believe it or not.
Whoa.
So I will never be the most famous person to come out of my little town of Stratford, Ontario.
Never say never, which is a Bieber quote. Never say never.
right, there you go.
Yeah.
So I'll have to do something super amazing.
Yes.
Sounds cool. So, Craig, we were just talking a little bit about you. You do a lot of things, an author, a trainer, a coach. Tell us a little bit about, let's focus first on your personal development. You write a newsletter and everything. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I actually stumbled across this website called Early to Rise back in 2001 when I was still a personal trainer. And I loved it. And I made this crazy goal of eventually owning a business like it. And I managed to buy the business in 2011. So I had this amazing personal development journey. And now I write these daily essays to our readers, over 100,000 readers. And I've written a book called The Perfect Day Formula. And as you can imagine, an owner of a website called Early to Rise is about helping people get up and really start their day amazing by taking control of it. Because as you know, the rest of the day just gets kind of crazy. But if we start that day awesome, that's how we get ahead in life.
That's so true. And I got to be super honest, Sam and I both agree. We love this show because it gets us out of bed. And instead of just laying, I mean, we both would just separately, we were like, yeah, I don't think I'd get out of bed early. Right. And we have a nice conversation over coffee and it really helps your day.
Yeah, you know, you need a meaningful incentive and you need a big deadline. And when you have those two things in place, you can really accomplish a lot in life.
So how do you have a high stakes deadline if you're not on the radio, which, you know, we're very important people, so we are very high stakes. But how do you have, let's say like you're not on the radio, how do you make your stakes high enough that you want to get up in the morning? How do you make that deadline like more important? Because I can always get rid of a deadline by going back to sleep. You know what I mean?
Well, that's a really great question. And but thing is, we all respond so well to deadlines, as we all found out in college with our essays. And we all find out that at Christmas time too, right?
And I mean, taxes.
Everybody knows you
and
have
taxes.
To have your presents at December 25th.
Yep.
What's that?
And taxes. We all do them the day before.
And the pack up December 23rd and December 24th. So what we need to do is create a vision for our life and figure out what matters. And then when we figure out what matters, we know what we have to go and do. And then we put those deadlines in place, and those deadlines spur us to action so that we accomplish those big goals and dreams. And so it really just is a matter of asking the right questions to ourselves about what matters. And then we figure out how we can put that plan in place for our days.
Right. How did you end up doing this? I mean, what were you doing before you decided to get into this?
I was actually writing for Men's Health Magazine since 2000. I had my own online fitness video program, much like Tony Horton and P90X. So I was selling those for about 15 years, and we still sell them today. Uh-huh. Bodyweight workouts you can do at home and dumbbell exercises. And so I was in the fitness world, and so I actually had a very successful career in the fitness world. Some of my videos on YouTube have been watched over 2 million times. Yeah. And so I was doing that, but I always wanted to help people more holistically, I guess you would say, not just with their health and fitness, but also in building wealth, improving their relationships, and having better control over their time. And so that led me on my personal journey.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, so you've got proven ways, right? I mean, you have yourself to show for that it actually works.
Absolutely. And I have these things called the 5 pillars of success. And if you have these 5 pillars in place, you can do anything. You can lose weight. You can get rich. You can even find the love of your life with these 5 pillars. And I've mentioned 2 of them so far, the meaningful incentive and the big deadline. And the other 3 are better planning and preparation than ever before. And then getting professional accountability, which is like having a coach or a mentor. Mm. And then making sure that you surround yourself with positive social support, which are what I call the cheerleaders in your life. And you have those 5 things, you can do anything.
Wow.
Wow, that's very interesting. So you wrote a book too, right? What is the name of your book?
It's called The Perfect Day Formula. And it's a compendium of everything that I've learned over the last 10 years of trying to become more efficient and effective while running 2 businesses and still have personal time and, you know, time to travel the world and be healthy and do all of these things. I mean, it's really that work-life balance that so many people are looking for.
That's awesome. The website is craigballantyne.com. You guys can find out more about Craig and the book. Now, this is interesting. You write here on your website, if you want something you've never had, you must do something you've never done.
I read that too.
Right.
And I love that quote.
That's cool.
Because that quote says exactly what I'm trying to do. As my parents, I don't wanted me to be go and be a lawyer like they were. And I had to stand out because if I wanted a different result, I had to go do something. But I'm the only, I feel like I don't have the 5th pillar. Like, I feel like my cheerleaders did cheer me on for a while, but they've stopped.
Uh-huh.
So what do I do to get that 5th pillar back?
Oh, that is a great question. And so many people struggle with this, especially when I was coming from the weight loss world. So many people said, oh, you know, at work, everybody's negative. Or, you know, all my friends, they just want to go out to Pizza Hut and have the buffet. Well, the great thing is that online social support works just as well as real world. So we go find those Facebook groups or we find those forums online. And there's a lot of positivity out on social media. I mean, I know there's a lot of negative stuff, but there's so much positivity out there. And going to the events and, you know, working with the people that are spending more time with the people in your industry.
Yeah, that's
very true.
That's
what we're looking for. Those people that are going to lift you up and help you play up a level in life so you can achieve those big goals and dreams.
So it doesn't matter really who the cheerleaders are. They don't have to be your condescending mom, right?
Right, exactly. They don't have to be those people in the same room as you when you go home.
Okay,
so that's the great thing, is that as long as you have somebody to pick you up when you're feeling down, who shares a little bit of insight, like, hey, I was once like you, here's what I did.
Sure.
That is what keeps us going.
Wow. Right. So we always need a support system. You know, I mean, we're totally social animals. We need support. And I also think, Tori, as far as the fifth pillar, perhaps you could provide that for yourself. You know, maybe you'll be your
own cheerleader.
But see,
I think I'm overdoing it. I think I'm too cheer, because I'm like, it'll definitely happen. Woo! And I'm like, maybe it won't, because I'm going a little crazy. But yeah, I think
You do have to be your own best positive cheerleader. That's so true. And that's the power of, again, social media. I mean, there's so many positive role models and mentors out there, whether you're watching a video first thing in the morning or, you know, checking somebody's Instagram that supports you and makes you feel positive. That stuff is out there, and we can use that to really fuel our fire.
Yeah, it's funny. Those really annoying, like, you see these quotes where they're really inspiring and everyone talks crap about them. I'm like, oh, yeah, I love these quotes, because they are just little reminders that really do help you throughout the day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And so it's always something you shouldn't get too much into is the comments on social media. It's always about that main message first.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So now, so you get your message out through earlytorise.com, and you also have a website, ttfatloss.com. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? That sounds interesting.
Right, so that's my first career. I created this program called Turbulence Training, and it's been used by over 100,000 people around the world. It's been featured in Men's Health Magazine, and so it was started all the way back in 1999, believe it or not, and that is when I was coming up with these short workouts. I just wrote a new book called The Great Cardio Myth. So my workouts are about not doing cardio, whereas the traditional mindset is, oh, you have to go and slave away on these cardio machines for hours a week. Well, you don't, even no matter if you want to get fit or lose fat and gain muscle, you don't have to do those long workouts. And that's the system that I came up with, is the shorter workouts.
Wow.
I was just doing a 30-minute workout yesterday on this 14-day challenge, and I got to 22 minutes, and I was like, oh, I'm so bored.
Uh-huh. But 22 is pretty good.
So, yeah, so what I did is I stopped and took a 10-minute walk outside. But, yeah, I think short workouts have always been preferable to me, and maybe it's because I have a short attention span.
It's
but
more doable, too, right?
Yeah, but I'll put more into it, I feel like. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And you know, you just showed two examples of a deadline that's spurring you to action. So you have a 14-day challenge.
Yeah.
So what does everybody think about 14 days, right? Oh, I can do anything for 14
exactly.
days. And so that's what gets us going.
That's true.
And then also there's a short deadline for the workout. I only have to do this for 30 minutes.
Right.
Or, you know, some of my workouts are only 4 minutes long.
See, I like those.
Really effective. And, you know, that's a nice deadline.
Yeah,
so
that's a good
really
you're
great
right.
example of the power of that.
That's so true, because I don't work well without a deadline. And I'm somewhat of like a creative scatter type. So I need deadlines, and I look and will Google 14-day workout challenges, because I can't do a month, but I can do 14 days. You know what I mean?
So there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know. That's interesting. I didn't even think about that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm using a pillar. I'm on a pillar.
There you go. Wow. So, Craig, tell people where they can find more about you, social media, things like that. Now, do you provide one-on-one? How do you help people?
Oh, so I do a lot of great things. We have the Perfect Day Formula book. Then we have this kit, which is like me coaching somebody at their kitchen table, and they can see a video and read a article about that at perfectdayformula.com. It's really, really cool. It's my life's work in a box, believe it or not. I mean, it sounds strange, but it's all these worksheets and my book and a gratitude journal and all these cool things which help people become more productive and take back control of their time.
Yeah.
So they can find that at perfectdayformula.com, and then they can find me on Instagram at realcraigballantyne.com. It's actually my favorite social media outlet.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, okay. Well, that's cool.
That's awesome.
So, okay. So, we have that. Of course, the website is craigballantyne.com, and you can find out more and get the book and everything. What's the title of the book again?
It's The Perfect Day Formula. And in that, you'll actually learn how I use the five pillars to overcome crippling anxiety attacks. So, again, it shows you how it can help you overcome
achieve
anything.
I have those. That's good.
Yeah. Now, I also noticed you have a book here, The 10-3-2-1-0 Good Night Formula. What's that?
That is the formula for helping you get better sleep. So that thing went, that's actually a chapter from my book, The Perfect Day Formula. And that went viral last year. So I was on Australian news. I was on Russian television. Whoa. It was in papers in London, England, because it's just a very simple formula for helping you sleep better. So I can explain that if you'd like.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm sure people want to read it, but tease it a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so 10 hours before bed, it's best to stop drinking all caffeine because caffeine is a stimulant and keeps you up at night. Now, there's some people, like my mother, who can drink coffee at 8 o'clock and fall asleep, but most people will be best to stop drinking any caffeine 10 hours before bed. Mm-hmm. Now, 3 hours before bed, you should stop drinking alcohol. And I know what people are thinking. What? No, you know, no wine before, you know, before bed. Well, it does help you fall asleep faster, but it ruins your sleep cycle. So you'll wake up the next morning, even if you slept 8 hours, and you'll be groggy because you didn't get into deep sleep. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying don't drink on the weekends, but if you want to wake up really fresh and alert tomorrow, don't drink 3 hours before bed. Mm. Then 2 hours before bed, we're going to stop all work. So no more work. And 1 hour before bed, we stop using all electronics.
Yes.
Because the light from electronics, iPads, iPhones, all that stuff, it makes us more alert and, again, prevents us from falling asleep. So if you're checking your emails on your iPhone before you go to bed and you wonder why you're tossing and turning, it's because of that. And then the zero, that stands for the number of times you should hit snooze in the morning, because I know we like to lie in bed in the warm bed, but hitting the snooze and falling back asleep actually makes you feel more groggy than if you would have gotten up the first time. So that's the 10-3-2-1-0 formula for better night's sleep.
That's great.
That's awesome. You know, and I think, you know, night's sleep is so important. And that, I mean, as far as screens and stuff, that's exactly what happens to me. You know, I'll sit there like at midnight and still work on the computer, and then I'm wondering why I'm not tired.
How about this one? Or you like wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, instead of what I used to do, which is like get some nice sleepy time tea or like a glass of water, mm-hmm. I'm like, great time to check Instagram. What the hell? Like,
yeah, man.
What?
Totally wakes
great,
you up.
Great time to check Instagram and get fired up by
totally.
People's comments.
Yeah.
Right? And the next thing you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, and then I see someone in a bikini and I'm like, oh my God, I need to like work out. And then I'm like, oh, and then I go eat. And it's like this whole cycle.
I need to get on another 14-day challenge. Yeah, right now. I know.
So, but it's interesting I think a good idea to say too is like, if you have trouble with this, don't put your phone even on your end table, because your hand will reach for it when you wake up just to see what happened.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Got to go old school with the alarm leave the phones out of the bedroom.
Get a rooster, have it crow, wake you up.
you
well, check out Craig's stuff. Very interesting. Obviously, you're taking, like you said, a holistic approach to getting better, improving your life. And sounds convincing to me. So, Craig, thank you so much again for joining us, and much more success to you.
Thank you so much. You guys have a perfect day.
You too.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Craig.
I am definitely going to be betting that book. Hello.
Right. I know. My solution for going to sleep right away is a joint, but, you know. But
that's
a shortcut.
That can help. It is a
shortcut.
That's a shortcut. I don't think there's anything wrong with shortcuts.
Yeah, but you know what? You do get up groggy in the morning and stuff, you know.
Well, you know what?
It does that to me.
A lot of people who judge that take an Ambien or take a Tylenol PM,
right.
And they wake up groggy too.
Right.
So, you know what? Everyone has it, but sleep is so important. It's so true.
Yeah, it really is.
It helps,
you know,
with everything.
I mean, I hit the snooze button for 45 minutes in the morning. That's
45? I could go with 3 hours snooze.
Really?
And And I know what he's saying.
But it is irritating, right? Right as you fall asleep, bam, the thing goes on again.
And I'm like just getting into this like cool dream where they're like, you're the new James Bond franchise for some reason. You know, like something weird. I don't know. Yeah, no, it's and what's funny is I crave structure because I don't have any in my, I don't really do that. In my soul is very unstructured. Right. So I always do crave like 14-day challenges I need things like that, or else I don't.
It's like setting goals for
yourself.
Yeah,
I like little, like I have a big calendar a week on my fridge so I get to like plan the week.
Oh, wow, that's
because I don't,
good.
Otherwise it'll just, I'll never see you again.
Right.
You know?
I know. Yeah. I need to write down more things, you know, I'm pretty pretty forgetful. So.
But I don't use a calendar. I use an old school, like, writing down with a Sharpie, like, calendar.
That's
or
good.
Else I can't.
Yeah, you need to see it.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Look, if it works for you,
yeah.
That's what you do.
Some people use a sundial back in the day. But Sharpie's fine. Sharpie's fine.
Well.
Yeah.
So, I guess a lot going on. This Facebook murder, what they call the Facebook murder?
Yes.
I guess this
Robert
guy.
Robert Goodman.
Yeah.
May he rest.
I mean, why? Yeah. And what I'm asking is, why do we know the culprit's name? I mean, I don't want to know.
No, that's
be
the
famous.
Victim.
No. But they're saying Steve Stevens is his name.
Oh, yeah. It's because he killed himself earlier this morning.
I know. And we refer to him like we know him, you know, and it's like, give me a break. But so he was found dead after the police found him, right?
Yeah, he went on Facebook Live and he said, I am found someone to kill and it's going to be this old guy. And then he proceeded to get out of his car and then walk up to Robert Goodwin Sr., I believe, and just a really nice old gentleman, and made him say his ex-girlfriend's name over and over again. And he was like, I don't know who that is. What do you need? And then he just shot him.
Right. So he was like... He was pissed that his girlfriend dumped him,
I
guess,
right? Yeah, and he picked
a
stranger,
I guess. Yeah, I mean, isn't that, like, terrible, you know? And this was a grandfather of 14.
Oh, yeah, he couldn't have looked like more. Like, he wore the grandpa hat with the sweaters, and, like,
right.
He was a good man. And it was live, and there was, it was insane. It's as dark as it gets.
It really does.
It's a random shooting, and then putting it on Facebook Live. It's just sick in all ways.
Yeah.
In all ways, that is sick.
People get so sick and crazy with the things that they do, you know? And I mean, so your girlfriend broke up with you. Why is
this person,
that man...
But obviously this person must have some mental
disturbed,
health.
Disturbed, right.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, when you see posts about this, the thing that you see usually next to it about Robert Goodwin Sr. is gun control issues, because 98% of Americans, whether or not you're pro-gun control or anti-gun control, don't want people with mental health issues to get a gun.
Right.
It's just a common, universal thing. It makes sense. So even if you're a hardcore Texan who believes in hunting, it's a huge majority of Americans don't want mentally ill people to have guns.
Right.
So that's just to put that basic right, and what Trump did is he took that mental health clause that Obama had put in and took it away. So it's just insane that would happen.
That's true. So, yeah. But I think we also need to classify mental health. You know, I mean, the thing
100%.
Is, this, look, I'm bipolar, but I'm on medication. And I'm very normal. I wouldn't shoot anybody.
Right.
But you know what? I can relate to when people are not on meds.
That's right.
And they go crazy.
That's right.
Right.
And I think bringing up mental health and talking about it is I think what Obama's administration was trying to do, and now it's like not going to be discussed.
Right.
So when it's not discussed, legislation doesn't happen, you have more murders like this. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just an overwhelming popularity thing of this is the right legislation to do. So sad. I feel so bad for their family and
right. But I still think the responsibility lies with the people and not the guns, you know. I just think a lot of people are like they're too
But if you're so crazy I'd rather you not be able to even get a gun.
Right, but they would get it illegally, you know? I mean, that's the thing. It's not hard to get a gun.
I know.
And that's what I'm saying, you know?
It is a lot easier to get a gun than, like, some concert ticket. Like, it's sick how easy. Americans love guns.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. Violence in general we love. I mean, look at all
In Israel, do families have guns? Because of the military being so, part of the culture. Do you have a gun in the house usually or no?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's not like
many
that.
Many don't, yeah.
It's in America that's different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe people do. I don't know who has guns. Usually people don't go around saying, I own a gun.
Yeah. In certain parts of America, they definitely do.
Right, yeah. Right. But, I mean, you run into people here, you never know who's got a gun at home, you know, or under a person or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So it is kind of scary, but... You know.
It's a complicated, charged issue, but this one part of it with the mental health, like everyone sort of agrees with.
Right.
You don't want to have, anyway. Yeah. So anyway, we're thinking of the family, and I think that's awful.
Yeah. I know. So, and they had a very emotional interview on CNN last night. I saw that, you know. And I guess they're saying that the sister really says she wishes he'd just been gone down in a hail of 100 bullets.
Yeah.
That's how the daughter is feeling.
Because not only have you killed randomly, you've done it humiliating the person by putting it live on. I mean, that's just That's the worst
right,
it can be.
Right.
So,
And to pick someone at random.
That's so sad. That's the scariest, because then everyone's a victim. Anyone could be the next person. He just saw the guy and he was like, this old guy coming around the corner. Like, oh my God.
Did he plan on it?
He planned on it only moments before and say, I found this guy I'm going to kill. It's this old guy. And he like got out of his
car. Jeez.
Good Lord, have mercy.
Yeah,
anywho.
Wow. So he's dead, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, he killed himself earlier this morning. And so, it's just awful. And violence becomes more and more. And, you know, it's just interesting to me because you see, like, the United Airlines video, which I watched again. That dude lost two front teeth, has a concussion, and a broken nose. He needs surgery.
Really?
So if you watch the video, which I had a hard time doing, violence is so normalized, again, talking about normalization, that like that was their first step, was to just drag him out. There was no escalation. It just went there.
Right.
We just went to like beating him up and bleeding.
Right.
So it's just odd that like that's how things happen now. It's just like, I'm going to pick a random guy and shoot him. Like, it's just scary.
I know. They should have handcuffed him or something first.
God.
You know?
The amount of lack of common sense in that situation was so outrageous.
Right, right.
That when he starts bleeding, you don't stop and address the issue. You keep dragging him. He ran back on the plane and then huddled by the curtain with blood coming out of his mouth saying, just kill me, just kill me, just kill me now. I mean, God.
Yeah. But you know what? I mean, I still say that he refused to get out. And I agree with you. It should not have been the first thing to do. But at the same time, when they tell you you have to leave, you have to leave. You know,
I mean, don't think anything can condone that. Anything. And I don't think they're changing their volunteer policy now so that no one has to leave when they pay good money for it.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, I know.
That should be like that.
Yeah.
Because
that's a terrible policy.
Yeah.
And I'm flying United soon and I'm terrified.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure they're going to fix things.
Well, there was an announcement today because, you know, the United...
And besides, you know what, Tori? You would not have refused to get up. They would not have dragged you out of the plane.
I don't know what I would have done. Why wouldn't they have? They dragged a doctor. He was a doctor.
No, but you wouldn't have done it. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm more concerned with their policy of just escalating to violence. I thought that was a crazy video.
Yeah. No, it was. I mean, there's no doubt. Yeah.
So, people... have been mashing up that with like Trump's voice over it, because it's like at the rallies and stuff, they were like, get him out of here, you know, stuff like that. Man, it's crazy. I know.
People do all kinds of crazy shit, huh?
I know.
I mean, the stuff on Facebook just blows me away sometimes.
Very good.
The funny things that
people do.
Yeah. So I guess they're giving you some songs to help you survive tax day. Money, That's What I Want. That's a song by Barrett Strong. So you can listen to that. Tax Man by the Beatles. I mean, they've written so many songs that they had nothing left to write about but the Tax Man, you know?
The Tax Man's coming.
Right. Then... Cream, which is a CREAM by Wu-Tang Clan, and that Cream stands for Cash Rules Everything Around Me. Then, of course, Money by Pink Floyd. Now, there's a song for you. Who was telling us they listened to Money while they're...
I did.
Yeah, while you...
Dark Side of Oz.
Dark Side of Oz.
Oh, yeah. And it's right when Dorothy opens the door to Wizard. It goes ching, ching, ching. And the door, you hear door creak.
Right.
And it's like, money, money, money. I'm telling you guys, it's worth it.
I love the song Money. It's really cool. Make It Rain by Fat Joe. More Money, More Problems. Notorious Big. She Works Hard for the Money, of course, Donna Summer. Money, Money, Money by ABBA.
Are these just money songs?
Yeah, these are like songs for tax day.
Seems like they have one theme.
Yeah, they do. Well, that's what it's about, you know. And, Can't Buy Me Love, the Beatles. Do you like the Beatles?
I love the Beatles.
Do you? They're great, aren't they?
I love the Beatles.
A lot of people don't like
them.
My
husband
is
a Beatles aficionado. I know so much now. He's like a scholar, and I mean, I know a lot about the Beatles. The Beatles changed music.
Yeah.
I love the Beatles. Wow. I've gone to see Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
I love George Harrison, I think, is one of the greatest musicians. I love the Beatles.
Right.
John Lennon.
John Lennon, yeah.
And then there's Ringo.
There's Ringo. He's
had still his there.
Career
still
too.
Alive.
Yeah, I know.
He's great. His drumming, actually, I watched a documentary. It's pretty interesting because he like pushed the tempo, it turns out. I learned a lot about his drumming, and I played the drums. But, the Beatles, oof. But they were all trying to be Chuck Berry. I mean, it's so interesting. It all goes back to, like, Chuck Berry, may he rest.
I know. Everybody influences somebody else,
yes,
you know?
Yeah.
But how can he write so many hits? I mean, my God, you know, everything they wrote was like...
And what's interesting is their entire span of being the Beatles was like 6 years.
Right.
Like, you don't get it. Like, this was in a long-term thing. And it was just changed the amount of amazing songs. Imagine listening to like Sgt. Pepper as a kid for the first time and going hit after hit after hit after hit. It came out, what, 50 years ago?
What's that?
A week ago? Sgt. Pepper?
Oh, yeah. 50 years in the 60s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So very exciting. Yeah. Like last week was their anniversary.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, I just, and what's interesting about the Beatles is, have you read the book 10,000 Hours?
No.
Or it's by Malcolm Gladwell, when they talk about if you really want to get something done and accomplished, you have to do it for 10,000 hours.
But that's not what the book is called, right?
No, I think it's In Outlier. Like, Outliers. Yeah, right. I think it's in that. You're right. But it became a sort of viral chapter.
Right.
And they talk about Michael Jordan. Like, he was always the first to practice and last to leave, and that's why he's Michael Jordan. Tiger Woods started as a child, and that's why he's Tiger Woods, or he was.
Right. So 10,000 hours make you a pro?
Yes. Yeah, so what happens is, you don't know this, but the Beatles went to Germany for like a pretty long time, like 2 years, and did a nightclub where they played the same songs together over and over and over and over and over again. So they did 10,000 hours of perfecting their group. Uh-huh. So people don't know that, because I'm like, that's why they're great. They're so good. It's because they had such a background in practice.
They put in so much time. Yeah, huh? Yeah. Wow, 10,000 hours is a lot.
It is.
Right?
But they did it night after night after night. This little club in Hamburg.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. 10,000 hours. I know, I'm like, God, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah.
But I don't have the time to then add up what that means. Like, is that a year? Like, I don't know. I don't know, but it's a lot of time.
Yeah. No, you just divide 10,000 by 60, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, not, why 60 hours?
I don't know.
24 hours.
I don't
to
know.
To find out how many days you have.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Yeah. But,
math.
Okay, so, yeah.
I laugh at your face. Oh, Lord.
I know. I actually enjoy math, but not the complicated shit. You know?
I don't enjoy any of it.
You're like, calculus, huh? I don't get it.
Trigonometry, too, you know? Why? Why are you even in my life?
Right.
What?
Why do we need to understand geometry so much?
Yeah, again, we're talking about it, but it's like, it doesn't... The amount of useless information that I have that could have been spent on useful...
Right.
How to deal with a breakup. How to deal with taxes.
Yeah.
How to deal, right?
Like, yeah.
How to cook a chicken. How to,
personal finances.
Yeah. What's a 401k? What's an IRA? But a parallelogram, very helpful.
Oh, well, you know. I mean, look, geometry is good, but trigonometry is way too much. You know,
oh my
I mean,
God. That's like. Trig? Yeah. Sine and cosine?
Sine and cosine. It's like, why do we need that in high school?
Secant.
Even in college, if I'm taking this as just one. If I just need that as the minimum requirement for math, I should not have to learn that, you know?
Yeah,
that
teach me physics. Teach me, some more science. Yeah, something useful
Because I don't remember trigonometry
anyway.
Right,
you don't remember it.
Yeah.
I can say the words cosine, secant, sine, tangent. I know for a fact I don't know what that means.
Right.
But I do remember this. In high school math, Laurel, I love my teacher, she let me get up there and give you guys a clue on what to do. And it was like, the co-person who's tan went to the secant.
Oh.
And they were like, good job, Tori. And it was a great day. Anyway. It was like cosine plus tangent equals secant. And it was like, if you go to the get tan. All right, we're done with this. I'm over it.
I like it.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, the quadratic formula.
Yeah.
Again.
I know. Wow, that's a terrible one.
I know, and I don't know what it is.
Squared and the.
Oh, like
y squared,
AB squared over B squared, but like I forgot what that
does.
Yeah,
A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Yeah.
And, yeah, the transitive property. Man, I don't remember
it. You're right. You even remember more than I do.
Well, it's like bizarre because I don't put it to anything. They're just floating words in my head.
Right.
That's
memories,
the
right?
Yeah. Bad memories. Getting Fs on tests. See me written in red on top of a test. Not good.
Yeah. They're talking about this song, how sometimes songs don't mean what we think they mean.
Mm.
And this is pretty interesting. So, but at the top, they have the song You're Beautiful by James Blunt. Have you heard of that song before?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
See, I've never heard of
it. You have.
Or maybe I have.
You have.
Oh, You're Beautiful. Okay, I think I know that one. But at any rate, they're saying, you know, many people ask to play it at their wedding.
Yeah.
And it's a, he says... It says, You're Beautiful is not a soft, romantic fucking song, he says.
Oh, Blunt is
it's mad. It's about a guy who's as high as a fucking kite on drugs in the subway stalking someone else's girlfriend.
Shut up.
When that guy's here in front of him. And he should be locked up or put in prison for being some kind of a perv.
Is that James Blunt saying?
Yeah.
James Blunt turns out to be really blunt and smokes a lot of blunt.
Right. There you go, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're beautiful. Okay, so no, Sam, I'm going to sing it. You're beautiful, it's true.
Yeah,
Adam Shaw, she smiled at me on the subway.
This one, right?
On the subway.
She was with another man.
Oh my God, you're right. She was with another man.
I won't lose no sleep on that, because I've got a plan.
A plan?
Yeah.
You're beautiful.
Oh my God, it's a stalker.
You're beautiful.
OMG.
You're beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
You see, we never think about that,
Jeez,
huh?
Jeez Louise. You know, there's a Beatles song called, it's something like, something Rita. I don't know. It's not that one, but it's about...
Lovely Rita, Rita
yeah,
Maid.
But I think...
A meter maid.
But there's another one about his old English sheepdog, and everyone thinks it's about a love... Eleanor Rigby.
Oh, really? That's about a sheepdog?
That's his old English sheepdog.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well,
I think I now have to look
song.
It up, but sheepdog.
But did you know that Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds stands for LSD?
LSD? Oh yeah,
yeah. That's like a long thing, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
They're saying so. Some songs like they're saying like Born in the USA for something. People think it's about being uber patriotic,
right? And it's actually not.
Yeah, it's casting a critical and mournful eye on America and its involvement in war.
And isn't that, what is that, Springsteen, right?
Springsteen,
yeah,
right.
He said it's like an anti-government song.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, it's Martha, Martha, my dear. Oh, my God, it's not Eleanor Rigby.
Yeah.
Rigby. I'm sorry, my friend had a dog growing up called Eleanor Martha, my dear, uh-huh. is about an old English sheepdog puppy that he named Martha.
Wow.
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Sorry. But yeah, songs are interesting when you have no idea that that's about a dog.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's about me, you know.
I know. I mean, only someone like Paul McCartney could have written a song, Mary Had a Little Lamb, you know. And do you remember when he sang that song?
No.
With Wings? Yeah, when he was, after the Beatles, he started doing a lot of songs. He had a song, Mary Had a Little Lamb. And it was pretty good. It was successful.
Is it like the one we all know?
No, it's Mary Had a Little Lamb. I don't remember it. Oh. It's from my childhood.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because that's like a nursery rhyme we all sing.
Right, yeah. I know.
He wrote a good song called Early Days that's on like his new album.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance and want to hear a good Paul McCartney song, Early Days is like gorgeous song. If you want old school Paul but new Paul, I would suggest you listen to it.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Early Days.
Yeah, check this out for a moment.
Okay.
Let's see.
Mary had a
it's a nursery rhyme.
Everywhere that Mary went, that lamb was sure to go.
He just wrote Mary and
yeah,
that's
did.
So weird.
Different music to it, right?
That's funny.
But I remember that. I wonder what year this is from. I mean, God, this is like when I was a kid, 70s probably.
Wings.
Yeah.
My husband loves Wings.
I know. I love the group. I mean, Paul McCartney to me has been the most productive.
He's still,
of all.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That guy.
Because I think John Lennon, if he had lived, I don't think he would have been as busy
or
more music.
Or prolific. You know? It's true. Paul McCartney does make songs quickly and often and doesn't ever really stop.
Right.
I think Lennon would have made.
Catchy too, right?
Right. He
it's
always has
songs.
The catchy songs. Yeah. Lennon was much more like dramatic and had more like poetic lyrics. But
right.
I think he would have been a really big peacemaker and revolutionary. And I really wish.
Probably, yeah, yeah.
He was alive.
They're talking about the song Imagine, where people, you know, believe it's a gentle music on peace and global unity. But it's really about radical revolutionary ideas. on how to achieve that peace.
Yeah. He and Yoko Ono were very radical. I mean, they were pacifists, but they were pretty radical pacifists. And I think you would have seen him as sort of, you know, a figure of that is what we are lacking now, sort of someone to lead us. We don't really have a leader in terms of that peaceful world. You know, Bernie Sanders is someone you think of, which is adorable. Yeah, right. But, you know, I think he would have been one of those.
Yeah, so, I know.
But McCartney's still making, he made a great song with Kanye. Like, he's just a cool dude.
Yeah, I need to hear that one. That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah,
he's done songs with Michael Jackson and a lot of people.
But then Michael Jackson took the Beatles.
Yeah.
And they no longer spoke.
No, right?
That was bad.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And finally, I guess Snapchat is stepping up its game and adding 3D filters. So whatever that means, you can get more blooming flowers and OMGs and
whatever that means.
I know, you know.
I love it.
And I mean, I just can't believe.
Everybody loves Snapchat filters. Everybody.
Yeah.
And their mother and their next door neighbor. And all it is everyone with a fucking flower crown.
I know.
And big puppy eyes.
Turn them into puppies. And puking rainbow faces.
I don't
faces.
Get it. I just don't get it. And I know I sound like an old person, but like today there's a Snapchat filter that came out where you just have like heavy eye makeup and lipstick. And I'm like, everyone's been using it. And I'm like, who cares?
Exactly.
The puppy thing is driving me crazy.
Yeah. Well, I know.
But if
I
you
know.
Love it, you love it. Good for you.
Exactly.
Sorry, no judgment.
All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Thanks. Thank you to Greg Ballantyne for calling in.
Yeah, great guy.
Check out his website. Tori, thanks as always.
Anytime.
Everybody get your taxes or extension done today. And we'll see you mañana.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.